My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He joins me now to talk about a number of critical issues as we enter into the 113th Congress, including the state of our economy and our debt, the recent back and forth he had with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid over which storm was worse, Katrina or Sandy, and we'll get his thoughts briefly on the nomination of his former colleague, Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, to be the next defense secretary. And Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg, for the invite.
Well, let's start with the economy here, and quickly on the economic front, you are among those who voted for the fiscal cliff deal. You pointed out in a statement that compared to what you thought you were going to get from President Obama, permanent tax relief and the number of Americans who got that relief was better than you would have hoped for. I'm guessing there was probably still a little bit of nose holding there, given the lack of reforms and spending cuts in there. But what does this do to set the stage for the debt ceiling fight to come?
Well, absolutely. It wasn't the overall bill I would have drafted if I were king for the day, because it didn't include major spending cuts and reforms. And that's what we need to do, and that's what we're turning toward, hopefully, now. The next big showdown, I know people are tired of hearing about showdowns, but the next big showdown is going to be about spending, because that's the fundamental problem and the fundamental challenge, which has led to these unsustainable levels of debt. You know, we're going to bump up on the so-called debt limit ceiling around March 1st, and I don't know any Republican who's going to be in favor of even considering increasing that without huge spending cuts and reforms. And certainly that's my position.
The president, of course, has recently said that he doesn't want another standoff over this. This is gambling with America's credit rating and so forth. And so he says he just wants Congress to end the dramatic effects when it comes to this debate. Obviously, Republicans won't do that. So where do you see the leverage here? How do you get him to do what he clearly doesn't want to do?
Well, I think the American people understand that we have a spending problem. Apparently, the president denies that, according to John Boehner, but I think the American people understand we have a spending problem, and that's at the core of this deficit and debt situation. You know, to me, it's like having a brother-in-law who has a huge spending problem, and he comes to you and says, well, I have a solution. I just need you to come with me to the bank so I can get a fifth credit card. That's not the solution. The solution is to change your spending habits that are unsustainable. Not getting a fifth credit card. In the case of the U.S. government, it's not just a fifth credit card. It must be a 10th or a 15th or a 20th.
Your colleague, Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey, made headlines a couple days ago by saying that if necessary, Republicans in both the House and Senate need to be willing to accept a partial temporary government shutdown. We wouldn't default on our debt payments and that sort of thing, but that Republicans need to be willing to take that step in order to fully demand what you believe is necessary here. Are you ready to take that step, and do you think the conference is ready to take that step?
I am, and we also need to make clear to the American people we're not talking about defaulting on our debt. That is a huge scare tactic. But we need to reform our spending practices and change that, because that's the problem with this deficit and debt situation.
Obviously, it was New Year's Day that the Congress dealt with the fiscal cliff deal, and a controversy that erupted in the hours following that was that the House decided not to move forward with the Senate Democratic version of disaster relief for victims of Hurricane Sandy. As a result of that, there were a lot of criticisms of House Republican leaders, one of which was the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who said that Sandy victims had suffered far more than even Hurricane Katrina victims. You responded quite vigorously to that, saying that this once again shows why Harry Reid is an idiot. He then backed down a little bit and said that, well, he misspoke. So what did we learn from this whole back and forth?
We learned what I already knew about Harry Reid, I think, that he is an idiot. I mean, the statement was just completely wrong, factually wrong, and idiotic. And it was insulting to Gulf Coast residents who have been through a lot. Look, Sandy victims have been through a lot. That was a horrible storm, horrible human toll. And I, for one, with many, many others, have been active supporting the relief we need there. And so I'm not trying to compare storms, but that's what Harry Reid brought up. And he not only compared them, he got it absolutely wrong, because by every metric, Katrina was the worst natural disaster we've ever endured as a country.
one of the things, of course, that House conservatives were upset with, and I'm guessing you weren't thrilled with the Senate version of the bill, was all the extra add-ons for NASCAR and rum producers and all these other things that they said, this is just pork, it's completely unrelated to actual relief, and we can do better than this. So as someone who represents a state who's been through the worst of natural disasters, how do you balance the need to get relief there as quickly as possible while also trying to make sure that taxpayers don't get fleeced for completely unrelated items?
Well, I certainly support those amendments, and I tried to get them with other conservatives in the Senate side. We were unsuccessful. Now what the House has done, I hope, leads to the best possible result. They have given some immediate aid, things that can be used immediately, and then they're going to follow up more diligently over this month in terms of continuing aid. So I hope that process really scrubs the bill in an effective way.
And, of course, FEMA took a lot of heat for the Gulf Coast cleanup effort, and its record on this Sandy cleanup hasn't been stellar either. What are you noticing that's consistent or maybe has improved a little bit in the year since Katrina?
Well, I think some things have improved, but unfortunately we still have a long way to go, and there's a whole laundry list of items I'd like to change about FEMA practices. I'll just give you one example. You know, we learned through Katrina that when local jurisdictions have pre-existing debris cleanup contracts with local contractors, that accomplishes two things. First of all, it employs local folks a lot more effectively. Secondly, you get that contract at a reasonable price and you keep costs down versus having to enter into a contract after the fact in the midst of an emergency. Usually that leads to contracting with huge national companies who sub the work down several layers to the locals at pennies on the dollar. And secondly, the federal taxpayer pays a lot more.
Last topic here, and we're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And Senator, and that's the nomination made yesterday by President Obama of former Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel to succeed Leon Panetta at the Pentagon as Defense Secretary. You've already issued a statement saying you'll be a no vote on Chuck Hagel's nomination due to his statements and actions, as you say, on a nuclear Iran, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Give our listeners a little more details on that. What has the former senator said that makes him unacceptable?
Sure. You know, unfortunately, it's not just one or two stray comments. It's a long history on his approach to the Middle East. Let me just give you some examples. He was one of only two senators who voted in 2001 against renewing the Iran-Libya Sanctions Act. He voted in 2007 against designating the Iranian Revolutionary Guards as a terrorist organization. He opposed the Iran Counterproliferation Act. He said publicly that an attack on Iran would be exactly the wrong idea. So he's, at least in his own mind, essentially taken that off the table. He's made pretty derisive comments to the Jewish lobby. He says, quote, the Jewish lobby intimidates a lot of people. But he said, you know, he's going to be a United States senator, not an Israeli senator. He signed a letter urging President Obama to open direct negotiations with Hamas. He suggested publicly that we could have very productive relations with Assad and that the Assad regime was getting a lot better. So on instance after instance, he's just got it, I think, fundamentally wrong on the Middle East. And given that, I'm very concerned that his becoming Secretary of State will really worry our allies, as it should, and really embolden our enemies.
Sounds like you have plenty of policy differences with Hagel. It's also been reported that he wasn't exactly the most collegial of colleagues. Do you think that complicates his confirmation effort?
It probably does. I didn't have a lot of direct dealings with him when we were in the Senate together. I don't have that issue with him. What I'm very focused on, what I think is the important thing to focus on in this debate, is those policy issues and how his becoming Secretary of State, should he do that, would impact our relations, particularly in the Middle East.
Anything specific you'll be asking him in the confirmation hearings?
Well, I'm going to focus on the Middle East and his approach to the Middle East, because virtually everything he said in the past is really worrisome in that regard to me.
I know you're not the whip, but last question, what do you think is going to ultimately happen with this nomination?
I don't know. There's no good count out there. I think it's going to be a heck of a fight. I think the result is not clear at all, but this is not going to be an easy confirmation for Chuck Hagel or the president at all.
Well, we'll certainly be watching those hearings and the debate as it moves forward. Thank you, sir, very much, as always.
Thank you.
Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. He's also a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which, as we just mentioned, will be conducting the hearings on Chuck Hagel's nomination to be Secretary of Defense. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.